Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus an extra $100 off all mattresses. End Saturday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. I am Adam Weinrub, joined not by Robert Murray today, but by our favorite Robert Murray fill-in, Jess Kleinschmidt, is here Super Bowl Monday, and you're bright-eyed and ready to go, which makes me think that you probably didn't stay up too late agonizing over the outcome of the Super Bowl that you loved watching.
I have a Super Bowl hangover, but it was not in the good way. It was like, what was that? But you know what the beauty of this show is? It cannot be worse than what happened yesterday. I'm not talking about the halftime show. And we talked about this. The reason why the game was so bad is because of you. We talked about that earlier. And the halftime show is wonderful, but I've never been so detached to an outcome. I know a lot of people are anti-Patriots, so they're all happy. But you know, I'm still in the Bay Area, so everybody's mad the Seahawks won. It's one of the, like, there was nothing special about yesterday. And I can't tell if that means the NFL is more or less scripted than we've already thought.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think so. For clarity, Jess was like, I hated the Super Bowl. And I was like, she's like, I think it proves it's not rigged. And I was like, well, bad news. Cause I actually did write the script for this one.
Yeah.
And what I gave you was the Patriots. I mean, if I wrote the script for the Super Bowl, I definitely would have written a script where the Patriots get absolutely mauled, look like they'd never played football before. Right. I would have written that. But what I would not have done was, after the Bad Bunny halftime, given you more dreadful football. I would have taken a cue, yeah, I think, from the writer's workshop. Like, the readers would have told me, hey, the script's okay, a little wonky, you know, maybe a little too heavy-handed on the Boston bashing. But after the Bad Bunny stuff, can we just double back on that? Can we do another halftime show? And I would have listened to them, because I do like when diligent notes are given to me, and I like pleasing my audience. So I think I probably would have pivoted.
Yeah, and I said you reeled him back in with the Bad Bunny performance. Lady Gaga, all of it, that was beautifully done. And then it was like you threw a wrench once again into it, which was actually kind of brilliant in a way, because you can tell who the real people were. But that was awful. The game sucked. I was not a fan. And I love the Super Bowl. I don't care who's in it, but that was just not a fun game for me.
And I am someone who thinks that the Patriots always have a chance to come back. And so when Drake May is dropping those fumbles and the Patriots are kind of not really trying very hard to recover them, I genuinely had to recalibrate and talk to the people in the room and be like, that actually was bad. That was a bad thing that happened to a Boston sports team.
It did not look like two Super Bowl teams were in it. One was, and the other one were those Patriots. It was crazy. It's crazy.
Yes. You're right, though. This show, it can't be as bad as that. I don't think it can be as bad as that.
Yeah.
We are excitedly going to talk. We got 20 minutes on the New York Yankees trading for Max Schumann, or maybe at least 15 on the Boston Red Sox pulling off a Caleb Durbin trade this morning for no reason. I have thoughts, and you can join us on the prospect show tomorrow to hear more about why one of my favorite prospects going to the Red Sox is a bummer. Third place rookie of the year, vindicated on that. But Jess and I are going to talk a little bit about, we're going to appraise some offseason work. You know, teams that did the most to threaten the Dodgers, teams whose work has impressed us the least, who deserves more credit, who's not getting enough, and the World Baseball Classic, which is on the horizon. So I would like to start there. I appreciate everybody joining us today on the Baseball Insiders. And again, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday on the Prospect Show, and in the Discord between shows, if you're not there, get the Baseball Insiders newsletter too. My spiel never ends. That's another place that you can receive. Go to fansider.com/newsletters and subscribe. But let's start with your reaction specifically to the World Baseball Classic rosters, which we have not really talked about on this show. I don't know if you're a WBC person. Team USA is more stacked this year even than they were when they lost to Team Japan in the finals 3 years ago. Japan finals favorites for obvious reasons. I don't think you could ignore what they bring to the table, the cohesion and camaraderie as well as the talent. Dominican Republic, sort of disappointing in 2023, but there is genuinely no hole in that lineup this year. I'm not sure how you take them down. Somebody might, but I don't see it happening. What storylines are you most excited to follow from this year's WBC?
Well, the easy one, like you said, like it's stacked, but I love that it's, you know, Shohei, Tarek, Skeens, and Judge. And that's, that just makes me happy because people who may not watch the WBC will appreciate it a little bit more. There's something so like unique about it because there's less money involved. You're representing your country. There are certain players who represent multiple teams, which is always fun. And just like you mentioned, the roster is always fun. But I really appreciate how any team could have a 17-year-old up to a 44-year-old. And I think that is so good because you watch these up-and-comers because who is it? Brazil, they have a 17-year-old pitcher, Joseph Contreras. And then you have all the way up to a 44-year-old, Alexi Ramirez. So it's like one of those things that we think that when you blow out 30 candles on your birthday cake, you're done with your physical career. And that's not the case because of this. There's so much more to it than just money. When you take the money aspect out of it, you kind of have the real life, the lifers when it comes to baseball. So I really appreciate that. But I'm always up for a surprise team. And I think Mexico might be that team. And when it comes to Mexican baseball players, there's not that many. But I will say I'm a Luis Urias truther. I think he's such a good baseball player. I watched him a lot with the A's, and of course his brother's on the team as well. And they had a really interesting last WBC. And I think you saw like who they actually were come out. Taiwan Walker is on the team. Arozarena, Alec Thomas, like these guys are all like, not just big names, but I love the passion they have. I think when you put all those guys together, they're going to give somebody a run for their money. But then you look at the roster overall, you mentioned the DR, they're always going to be in talks. And of course, Japan's always really good. Korea, I think the list goes on and on. But when it comes to Mexico, I think that might be the team that's going to surprise some people.
The chemistry matters more in this event than in like any other baseball tournament. So that is going to be so important for a team like Mexico. The Team USA thing, I think, it gets lost to history a little bit because, you know, you're paying attention to the 162 game grind. You're paying attention to the offseason. You got your eyes on the winter meetings when these players are announcing. The 2023 Team USA roster did not include Judge, Skeens, or Tarek Skubal. Skeens, of course, was not a professional baseball player. But, I mean, Skubal was not on our radar in that same way. Aaron Judge, I think the most Googled question of last World Baseball Classic was, why isn't Aaron Judge playing in the World Baseball Classic? Yeah. And now we can answer that one for you. So Mike Trout couldn't get insured this year. Judge is Captain America. The rotation of the last Team USA WBC roster was like, I mean, Lance Lynn. It's like guys who host podcasts now. It's like,
I love Lance. I mean, you're a guy that you're introduced your change up 10 years into your career. Like, I'm all about that. Like, let's go. That's amazing. Yeah.
I loved those dudes. And at the time it was like a fun cross section of what USA had to offer. But I mean, you're talking about Adam Wainwright's farewell tour, basically leading into now that's Tarek Skubal and Paul Skeens. Yeah. I mean, the chemistry matters. We're about to find out if this Team USA can get along, but also momentum is as good as your next day's starting pitcher. Team USA has a next day starting pitcher every single day who would turn my heart to pure ice if I was confronting that person. So are they going to win? I mean, I can't tell you that right now, but I can tell you it's like it's joy for baseball fans. Yeah. That you get to see these things.
And it's an excuse to watch that Adam Jones catch again. And I still watch it all the time. I can never not think about Adam Jones. If you don't know it, look it up. It's beautiful. There was so much. It was Miami, right? Miami. And he went up against it, right? It was an amazing catch. And it was so descriptive of what the WBC is. Like, just like you mentioned, obviously a lot of these guys are not going to go full bore. We have the season coming up, but they have these younger guys. You get to watch their talent and represent their team. And they're looking at this like the Olympic Games. And that's a bigger deal. And that's why people are Googling, why isn't Aaron Judge in the WBC? Like, where is he? It's because they don't necessarily understand how it works, but that's what brings more eyes to it. And you know, people are going to be so stoked to watch Shohei. And of course, like Tarek Skubal, I think after what happened with him in arbitration, people are going to have eyes on him. So it's just really, really exciting. I love Skubal because the final season at the Coliseum, he's from the Bay Area and he took so much dirt on the pitcher's mound, which was really cool. And people really liked that. And I think he's a good guy and he is worthy of every single penny he got this offseason.
Yeah, and I am still I'm sitting here still surprised that he did win all of those pennies, but I just because I don't have faith in the process, not because he didn't deserve it.
Well, he did the exact same thing that Tim Lincecum did. Tim Lincecum brought his two Cy Young awards, just basically put it down and like walked out of the room, and I think and he won. You know, so it works. You don't have to say it. The work speaks for itself. And I think that that's such a universal thing.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation. You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
That moment instantly changed the Tigers offseason to the 1-2 punch of Scooble winning all that money, but sticking around probably. Framber Valdez comes in, and that is how quick the offseason assessments can turn when you're getting closer to spring training and pitchers need to find new homes and teams need to get their final, you know, T's crossed and I's dotted and their offseason assignments. We're getting that spring training is happening. People are reporting, you know, the hats are getting released. They got little grapefruit practice. They look sick. So now I think it's time to evaluate what we saw. And of course, the Dodgers, I want to frame the first question in terms of what team with an impressive offseason did the most to threaten the Dodgers. And I have to frame it that way because they are the 2-time defending champs and they did the most of anybody. They got Edwin Diaz and Kyle Tucker again. They didn't stop.
There's no need. It was just like one of those things, like, of course, like you can go to the Dodgers. Like what, if you have the option, why not?
They did not stop just because we asked them to. So
Like you're being really mean. Like you're being really, really mean. You don't need to have Tucker on your team.
Yeah.
That was like one of those things in offseason. Just like, I bet you Tucker was like, I just want to know who wants me. I'm going to the Dodgers, but I just want to know who wants me. Kind of.
Yeah. It did feel that way. It was like, thank you for showing interest. We really appreciate it. Kyle Tucker Industries will be moving to Los Angeles, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so they didn't have to, but they did do the most. They win the offseason. Congrats to them.
Totally.
But who do you feel like did the most to even give themselves a chance and get in that arena with LA?
I'm glad the Dodgers, things are fine looking up for them.
It was a long drought, but they
do good for them. And I don't think this team will demolish them. And it's also an NL West scenario. What the Giants did this offseason was really interesting. I don't know but the coaching staff is a whole thing that we should do on a totally different podcast. It's going to be kind of funky as far as, you know, the whole new coaching staff. Obviously, I'm a Bo Mel girl, but it's a whole different thing. But it was really, you know, Luis Arraez is going to be really interesting, and not just because of the average, but he's making things interesting defensively. There's going to be more depth out there. And I think there's more utility guys with costs. And Harrison Bader, I think there's something, I have that feeling that something good's going to work for him across those two teams. Last year, obviously the trade deadline, he was a really good acquisition. His athleticism is there. He was hitting 277. And we know he's got like that sneaky athleticism that you only really see on defense. But once he gets the power going, you have that average. I think he's going to have maybe not like the, because when he was that highly touted prospect, I think there's always extra pressure. So I think that was one thing. And I'm not going to lie. I love me some Tyler Mahle. I was on the pre and post game show and I was breaking down his pitches. And I think you put him in any type of rotation because maybe the velocity is not there. That movement is ridiculous. He hits every single quadrant. It's so much fun to watch him. So I think adding him in there. So like I said, it's going to make bats look silly. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think they're going to demolish the Dodgers. I do think that their offseason acquisitions were really, really solid. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I'm a utility girl. We talked about Schumann heading into here. And I think a utility guy is always going to help your roster.
I do like what they've done a lot more than what the Padres have done. They seem to be them and the Diamondbacks for that clear-cut second spot in the NL West, in my opinion. Also, shout out to Harrison Bader, Bronxville's finest. Slave to the grind, the best coffee place.
And we both wear crop tops, which is why I like Harrison Bader.
Yeah. I don't know if that would have been my defining feature of Harrison Bader, but I'm glad you said it.
It's the thing that like pushed it over the edge, you know, like he's really good and he can pull off a crop top.
Yeah. That was the original name of the segment. I was like, let's just go over the top 10 MLB players.
And he always says yes. He says a lot to a lot of media requests. He says yes to, which I really appreciate too. Yeah.
Good. You are still Bay Area. I mean, you get to see it up close and personal. Hopefully they do make a push. It's better when that Giants team tries to contend. So they impressed you. Is there anybody else? Let's go with the flip side, unfortunately. And again, this will never be the Dodgers because they will never have a bad offseason again. So that's a shame. But is there a team that you are left sitting here, you know, honestly, about a month and a half till opening day? The teams are reporting. The players are getting in their spring training finest. Who do you look at and just say, I do not like that?
The Phillies, easily. They talk, you know, the quote is run it back. That's fine if you are the Dodgers. And don't get me wrong, you look at the roster and the lineups for the Phillies last season, it's not terrible. There's obviously question marks about Nick Castellanos heading into the season. But when Dave Dombrowski says they're content with what they have after missing out on Bo Bichette, you know how Philly fans are. They were not happy with that at all. It's the nicest way I can actually describe it. Now, on the other side of it, I think Kyle Schwarber extension is great, not just for the numbers, but the clubhouse is always good. I'm a chemistry guy. And JT Realmuto, I think he's going to play with a chip on his shoulder because it was kind of like they were in discussions with him, but we all know it was like Bo Bichette didn't work out, so we're going to give you this extension. I love him because he's very honest about being a catcher. They do not get enough monetary value, year value. They're the most important position, and they're not all Yadier Molina, but they all deserve Yadier Molina money because of what they have to deal with as far as defensive. We'll see what happens because the bat kind of drooped. The blocking was a little bit off, but I think once you add a chip on the shoulder, things can change pretty well. And we do not know what version of Adelise Garcia we're going to get. So that's something that's really interesting. But I've looked at a lot of Phillies fans, and it's kind of like when you're watching a CNN situation, you know, this just didn't, nothing changed. And that's what they're talking about. Like nothing's different, but the term content, and you're talking to Phillies fans, like they're not going to like that at all. So I think they need to do something. I don't know what it is, but when you make the push for Bo Bichette, you don't get him. You're thinking something else is going to happen. And that just wasn't the case.
That also just made me think of the real world equivalent of what JT Realmuto just went through. Like, I'm not even sure, like if a high paying job, you did like 7 interviews and they were like, thanks so much, we'll let you know. And then you waited for like 4 weeks and you're like, they're not going to let me know. I didn't get that job. And there's a CNN bulletin, like you said, about somebody they intended to hire. And you're like, okay, so I didn't get it. That guy did. It's fine. It is what it is. I've made peace. And then they rush to you at 3 a.m. and they're like, hey, we act like nothing happened. Like, hey, we'd love to extend you a job offer. And you're like, I know what happened, though. It was on TV. Like, yeah, you didn't choose me.
Mm-hmm. But I will say, like, I feel like at his point in his career, you're getting paid to still play a sport, like, honestly. And I'm not saying that any sort of negative way. I think catchers are the most important position. And he was very honest about it. And even during when he was talking to the media, you could hear it. But at the same time, if you want to be the backup for Bo Bichette, it's not the worst thing in the world. And I know I'm assuming they were still in conversations throughout the entirety of the offseason. We don't know what the market was like for him specifically, but yeah, I mean, if it was one of those last minute things, I could see it. But you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because that's going to be a lot of, like, you look at the roster and the lineups and it's good, right? But doesn't matter who you are and what you're doing. I mean, I'm not saying losing Harrison Bader was the worst thing, because of course he was a great trade deadline situation, but I don't think he was the end all be all. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I mean, it's not the worst roster in the world, but we'll see what happens. Obviously, the Castellanos drama, if that's going to continue, that can make an impact on certain things. So,
Them and the Yankee fans, I think they're just tired of not getting over the hump, and they're tired of that familiarity. So I would not be surprised if Phillies fans continue to be loud, like you said. Is there one more team that you would say the world at large is not paying attention to what they've done, but they should? Again, we're not talking in the upper echelon with the Dodgers. We're not talking about a contender, but we're talking about major strides this offseason that don't get talked about because they are not in the payroll stratosphere.
Pirates, for sure. I like what Pirates. The Pirates did. Yeah, the Marcelo Ozuna, same thing. We don't know what version we're going to get. He had a pretty solid season last year, in 2024. Actually, it was an all-star select in 2024, so that was great. Numbers dipped a little bit, but nothing too crazy. But you get him with some power. That's always great. Love the Ryan O'Hearn signing. I think that's all. He's a great clubhouse guy. There's pop there, too. And I think, who else is it? Oh, Soto's going to be great, too, coming out of that bullpen. You can never you always benefit from a veteran reliever and that sinker and the secondary pitch for that slider, the way that they move. And of course, he's got so much velocity coming on the left side. The walk rate is still pretty decent. The strikeout rate is good as well. So signing him was great. So I think that's going to be a really interesting situation overall. But I will say, Marlins, they did some things too that was kind of like, there were highbrow moves. I mean, I said that at the Angels last offseason, but like we don't, but there was some stuff happening over there. I don't think they deserve an F. I don't think they deserve a D. I give them a C from what they from the Marlins did in the offseason, especially because of where they're at. And I've seen many portions of Giants and A's teams that have done rebuilds, and then you still have a good team and all of that. So definitely keep an eye on the Marlins. They've made some pretty interesting moves.
And they traded the pitchers they needed to. I agree with you. I like what they did. I'm going to go ahead and shout out the Chicago White Sox as well in this bucket, because
I was going to put them down too. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, it's not like I'm not going to get on this podcast and say the White Sox are going to win the World Series or go to the playoffs.
That's why I left them out. Yeah.
But I'm not even going to say that they're going to spell Munetaka Murakami's name correctly, because they didn't do that. But what they did do was watch that cratering market and bring in a number of pieces and bring in Austin Hayes as a guy who the Mets and Yankees were competing over, and the White Sox got him because they guaranteed him more playing time. That's what you should do if you're the White Sox, if you're at the fringes, if you're just trying to get better. Not a playoff team. The Tigers put their stamp on the AL Central again, but I like it. I do like it.
Yeah, and I mean, the A's went through that a couple of seasons ago. Like, a lot of guys who were going to be minor league deals everywhere else, you get a major league deal with the A's, in this case, the White Sox, more playing time, just more incentives, because the White Sox know where they're staying right now. And I think the front office knows that, and what he was able to do and understand from all of that, like, it is what it is. But I'm right there. I almost put them down because of, like, you don't, I mean, the ROI is always going to be the ROI. You never really know. But I Hayes was great. I'm glad that you brought up him. We know what they had in their minor league organization, the farm system. And as time goes on, we're going to see what was flipped for it. But like I said, you're kind of gambling on some of these things, but they still made some moves that you're like, okay, don't necessarily count them out. I mean, like you said, not playoffs, not World Series, but they made some moves to where, could you imagine having the White Sox record over the last few seasons and then not doing anything in the offseason? Like, you got to figure out like what you want to do. There's got to be some sort of movement to make yourself not look like a total waste of time.
Yeah, I see the direction and I do enjoy it. If you've got a team you want us to weigh in on, please join us in the Discord. Ask me questions. Ask Robert Murray questions. We are happy to. Hey, if you like the Super Bowl script too, let me know. Personal feedback would mean the world to me. I want to also say before we sign off, rest in peace to Terrence Gore, a one-of-a-kind Major League Baseball player with a one-of-a-kind career. We lost far too soon. Three-time damn champion. You can write that in ink. Jess Kleinsmith, thank you so much for joining me. Thanks for taking over for Robert. Again, our preferred choice whenever we have the chance. So thank you for coming on and speaking it.
Well, Robert knows I would do anything for him. And yeah, let's get that script going, because that was very like Rachel dating Joey in the final seasons of Friends. So we'll figure that out.
Yeah, it was kind of the we were on a break Super Bowl in a
yes.
way. And we're still on a break. Now we have 9 months without football or whatever. But guess what? Here comes, I can't count way less than that, but here comes baseball. So thank you for joining us on the Baseball Insiders. We will see you for the Prospect Show tomorrow. And we will see you back here with Robert Murray live on Wednesday afternoon. Thanks, everybody.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that, cools up to 8 times faster, and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus an extra $100 off all mattresses. End Saturday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.